hour two of the program. 865-546-8200 if you want to weigh in. Let's go to the phone lines now. Let's grab Roberto. Roberto, thanks for joining the show. The floor is yours.
Morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, my friend.
Excellent podcast, first of all.
Thank you, sir.
Wonderful podcast. I thought it was really, really good. Some of your best efforts thus far.
Shout out to Reed's Ranch.
Indeed. As far as the NFL is concerned, I really, can I be honest with you guys and say I love my Saints, but I haven't been watching very much. I'm one of those people that the socio-political BS that's going on, I just can't do it, guys. I just can't watch.
So that's why you haven't been watching?
One of the, yeah, because, I mean, I don't hate the NFL. Really don't.
Yeah.
It's socio-political BS. I'm just over it. I'm over it from both sides, to be frank with you. We go to pro athletics and college athletics to a lesser extent. Just get away from all that. We're inundated with that 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on, you know, every station of known demand. Why do I have to go to my sports and get the same fix? You know what I mean? But with that said, John, I think I heard you say my Saints are pretty good. I'm kind of surprised. Like, they're making me want to watch pro football again because they look pretty good. And looking at their schedule, it doesn't look like they're probably going to lose again until they go to Buffalo. So they could easily be like 3-2, or excuse me.
They're 3-2 right now. They should win at Green Bay. They should win against Chicago. They got home at Tampa.
Home.
You could probably win that one. Yeah, they could be 6-2 headed into Buffalo November 12th. Like, I thought the Saints were in trouble. I thought they should fire Sean Payton after the first couple of weeks. They looked bad against
Minnesota. I didn't think they should fire him, but I did think they were in a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
No, yeah, I was just saying, like, I thought they were dead in the water. They've bounced back nicely. They blew out Carolina, blew out Miami, and handled Detroit pretty easily. The defense looks better. The run game
a little bit better.
Kamara,
I mean, they
has helped.
Give up almost 40, right?
Yeah, so. I would say they're a playoff team at this point.
Wow, that would mean they're ahead of schedule at this point,
for sure.
In my opinion,
for sure.
But they have no quarterback if Drew Brees were to get somehow dinged up. I mean, they have nothing.
Well, I think every team is battling with that. Like, I don't think there's any. I think there are maybe three good backups in the league. Like, I think Minnesota's got a good one with Case Keenum. I think if Tom Brady went down, they could tread water. Other than that, I'm not sure if there are any good backup quarterbacks. Like, there's barely good starters.
Don't forget my man Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Ryan Fitzpatrick sucks. He got all those garbage time stats, Caleb. Ryan Fitzpatrick sucks.
He was slinging it.
I mean, and John, that's exactly it. And do you know why? That actually leads me to my point. Good segue. That is, do you know why there's no good quarterbacks in pro football anymore?
Because everyone
there's maybe
run,
like five
run,
guys that are elite.
Because everyone runs the damn spread in college. That's why.
There you go. Nobody runs a power eye or a true pro offense in college anymore, which could be Tennessee's tick. I mean, how amazing would it be to go back to being more of a no matter who the next coach is, being more of a power team and not out a power spread maybe, yeah, but more of like a pro-style power game, and that would make you the rarity now. I mean, Alabama's a rarity. And Alabama doesn't even hardly run with a fullback anymore. Georgia's a rarity, but they hardly run with a fullback. I think it would be really interesting to have like a two-back system, like the old-school NFL system of a two-back system, whether it's a fullback or two tailbacks, and see what that looks like now, because nobody's doing it. And you could go out and you could get quarterbacks that have the skill set of the guys we have on campus now that don't need to be super fast or scrambling type of guys. They could be guys that can throw the football, and you let your running backs be the runners of the football. It's not rocket science, is it?
Hey, Roberto.
I mean, it makes sense, right?
Roberto, you said you're a fan of the like bringing back the old school, and you were mentioning a coach that we could bring back. Are you on the groomer train? You on the Gruden train?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I'm sheep.
So I'm a huge Tampa fan. I had season tickets growing up. Gruden ran a three running back system pretty much down in Tampa with Allstott, Pittman, and
yep.
So I mean I'm on the same thing.
Allstott, Pittman, and Warren, what's his name?
Warren
Dunn.
Yeah, and that brought him a Super Bowl. So I mean we've got the tailbacks here. I definitely understand what you're saying.
But he's already talking about, like, if he comes back, he's going to run some kind of a power spread type of situation. But just get me some guys who run the football, and that's what they're going to do for a living. and give me some guys who throw the football, and that's what they're going to do for a living. And then figure out how to make it work where it doesn't look so convoluted like Tennessee has right now. It looks like the guys who are running the football are pass catchers, and it looks like the guys who are throwing the football need to run it. And it just doesn't make sense. It's all bass-ackwards. Guys, John, are you taking the 34.5, or are you laying
no,
the point?
No, I'm not, I don't think I'll play either. I don't think I'll play either. That way, I don't have to be invested.
You're not even going to play the over/under at 50.
I'm not going to play anything. I don't. I just want to. I don't.
Bama's going to score 50 by themselves.
I don't want to pay attention to the game, Roberto. Like, I just don't want to be invested. I just want to be left alone.
I apologize.
Alone.
I apologize.
I like Bama to cover 34.
It seems like free money, and I know you're a degenerate. It just seems like free money.
I like Bama to cover. They may cover by halftime.
Cody thinks blowout's coming. Cody thinks a baptism. Cody thinks Nick Saban is going to be Nick the Baptist and cleanse Tennessee of all their sins and cleanse Tennessee of Butch Jones.
I actually disagree with that. Bama hard. I mean, Bama's a huge, huge favorite. They rarely cover because Nick Saban doesn't want to. The best thing Nick Saban could do is lose the game on Saturday. He can lose the game, still make the national championship game, and Butch Jones will be our coach next year. It's the best thing he can do for his program.
Appreciate the phone call, Roberto. 865-546-8200.
I think Bama's covered in every game this year besides Colorado State and A&M.
According to
maybe
team,
not Fresno.
Team rankings has everybody against the spread. Through seven games, Cody, Alabama right now is 3-4 because they didn't cover against A&M either.
A&M, Colorado State, Fresno. Who else did they not cover against? They covered for me because
They covered against Florida State. They covered against Vandy. They covered against Ole Miss. I don't know what the Arkansas line was at the kickoff because it was a 32-point margin.
They covered for me
because
I got them early in the week.
Yeah.
But it ended up moving up to like 37.
It's weird how this website is nice. It's a nice barometer, but they also had Tennessee at 1-5 against the spread, whereas you can't take the late movement and penalize Alabama there, but also say that Butch Jones covered against Florida when that spread was, 4.5 right before kickoff.
Well, at 34.5, I feel comfortable that Alabama will cover. But, if it moves, if it keeps moving up, I mean, I think the highest it would go would be, 35.5 maybe? Or do you think it would keep moving on up? I don't think it's going to move that drastically, is it?
What did we think about the point about quarterbacks and the next coach? Because we just did a segment on the NFL. If you missed that, go check out the podcast, foxsportsknoxville.com, talking about the NFL's problem might be lack of quarterbacks. And I don't know if college football is pumping out these elite prospects anymore. Like, Jameis and Mariota are supposed to be can't-miss guys. Jameis has struggled of late. Mariota, okay, yeah, he's been solid. Neither one of them lived up to number one, number two hype. Do we feel good about Sam Darnold? He's supposed to be the next can't-miss guy. Do we feel good about him next year? Because he's kind of struggled this year at USC.
It's been a while since you had just a really good quarterback come out. I mean, you could say, I guess Carson Wentz, you could say.
Carson Wentz is by far the crown jewel of the last 4 or 5 years.
I mean, remember
now he's the odds on favorite to win MVP now that Rodgers has gone out. He's at +175. Winning MVP in your second year would by far put you ahead of the curve of your competition.
But he played at North Dakota State.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
and he tailed off last year. We'll see if he tells off again this year. But right now, he's by far the best young quarterback in the league. +175 to win MVP.
I think he's got a great future. Andrew Luck, you remember when he came out, people talked about Andrew Luck like he was the next Peyton Manning. And we just haven't seen hardly anything. He's been hurt a lot. But I just haven't seen from Andrew Luck the same kind of production as what we thought he might be as the next face of the league. He's not that.
Luck, I think, has been victimized by Jim Irsay and Ryan Grigson and Chuck Pagano. Like, I do think Luck had the potential to be as good as advertised. I do feel like he kind of had the same treatment after year one because, like, his first year was the year that Pagano went down with cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And then Bruce Arians, who gets credit for being really, really good with quarterbacks, took over. And Andrew Luck looked pretty good his rookie year. And then Arians leaves and goes to Arizona, and Luck's been kind of up and down since then, turning the ball over a lot. I do think he's kind of got the Garantano dormancy symptom of not getting good coaching. Like, I do think Luck had the potential to be that. I don't know. I'm not willing to say his hype was overblown, because he has shown flashes. He is athletic. He does have a good arm. I just think that team around him and the coaching around him has really done him a disservice.
Pretty toxic.
Yeah. Like, I just feel like he's just been in a bad situation. Now, maybe it's been so bad that now his shoulder's jacked up and he'll never be the same, or maybe they can get it right in the offseason and then kind of move away from Pagano, get a good quarterback mind in there, hire an offensive guy, and fix Andrew Luck. Or maybe Brissett looks good enough, they'll try to trade Luck and get some pieces and just completely rebuild.
And that might be the best thing for Luck.
And tank, kind of adopt an NBA mindset if you're the Colts and just be like, this roster is not good, let's just roll with Brissett, he's cheap, let's get rid of Luck and try to get some assets. Like, that's what smart teams do in the NBA. That's what the Browns are trying to bring to football. Like, obviously, it's not working for them right now. They don't know what the hell they're doing. But the idea is you punt a couple years, load up on some assets. Like, you're wasting Andrew Luck's prime. You're paying him a lot of money. You're not going to be good.
Yeah.
If you're the Colts.
And that might be the best thing for Andrew Luck also.
I do think.
Just to go somewhere else.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, it would be the best thing for Eli Manning at this point. Like, I wish NFL teams were smart enough to start trading. You know what? We got an average quarterback. Eli Manning, yeah, Tom Coughlin, you used to work with him in New York. Now you're at Jacksonville. You guys will probably be better with Eli Manning instead of Blake Bortles. Like, go ahead, just trade us a fourth-round pick, fifth-round pick, and take our quarterback. Like Matt Stafford, instead of overpaying him, trade him to somebody. Like, I keep using the Jaguars, but they desperately need a quarterback. They have a pretty good team. There should be a market for an average quarterback and just kind of reset and rebuild a little bit. I'll be curious to see, you know, what the Colts' long-term plan is, because I don't think they're going to be a contender anytime soon. Going back to Roberto's point, though, like, it would be nice. Like, that is the appeal of Gruden, right? Like, everyone's like, why do you want Gruden? Gruden's never recruited. Gruden this, Gruden that. He's not a college coach. I feel like you would automatically have a leg up on pretty much any elite pro-style quarterback with dreams of going to the NFL. When it came to recruiting, right?
If you had Gruden as a head coach.
Yeah, with John Gruden as a head coach running a, you know, more of an NFL-type offense, you would have a leg up with his NFL connections of any four- or five-star quarterback. Like, Tennessee would never have to suffer bad quarterback play again. Like, that's the allure of John Gruden to Tennessee.
That would be probably the main thing, yeah. I mean, that – but, you know – going back to what Roberto said about the offense and, you know, guys who run the ball, guys who throw the ball, pro style, whatever. I don't care about any of that. To me, it is balance. That's the key thing. I don't care what kind of offense you run, how you get it done, whether it's in the spread, whether it's pro style, whether you want to line up in the power eye. I don't care. But you've got to be balanced. That's the key thing in college football. You go back and look at the teams that have won national championships, just about damn near all of them are close to evenly balanced. That's why you don't see air raid teams there. That's why you don't see
LSU.
Triple option teams. That's why LSU can never get it done. They've never had a quarterback. But, yeah, a great quarterback, I mean, that is the foundation. That would be the starting point. That would be the selling point with Gruden. You get a great quarterback. But you're still going to have to be able to run the ball. And to me, I don't care what kind of offense you run, or no matter, I don't care how it looks, I just want balance. And to me, that's what Chip Kelly had at Oregon. Because everybody talks about how fast that offense was, and, you know, Mariota was great and how they were able to throw the ball and all this, but that was still a running team. That was a spread power run team. People, I think when they hear the word spread, a lot of times they forget that. Same thing with Auburn and Gus Malzahn back when the allure was there with him. It's really not there now. But, you know, everybody talked about his high-powered offenses. They're just running counter and power and halfback dives. You know, it's just intricate the way that they do it because they do it out of the spread.
Funny stat here. You were talking about Gruden developing quarterbacks and bringing in good quarterbacks.
Right.
Brad Johnson, the year before they won the Super Bowl, threw more interceptions than touchdowns.
Yeah. Yeah, like he, and then, you know, translating what he's done with ESPN on Monday Night Football. You see him every week, and then you see him every year before the draft sitting down with every elite quarterback prospect in the draft and going through their film and going through that. Gruden's quarterback camp is a brand. Like, that's the allure of Gruden, and that would be maybe the leg up on your competition of, like, hey, if you want a quarterback who's going to throw the ball down the field, who's coming out of high school wanting to go to the NFL, are you going to go to Alabama or are you going to go to Tennessee? Are you going to go to Florida or are you going to go to Tennessee? We'll see what Georgia does with Eason and Fromm, but I don't think either one of those guys are going to the NFL anytime soon. Like, if Eason goes, it's not going to be with Georgia. It'll be with Washington or wherever he goes and transfers. Fromm doesn't look like an NFL quarterback. So, like, in the SEC, no one's pumping out NFL quarterbacks. Like, Tennessee could kind of corner that market, and that is the allure of John Gruden.
Well, let me ask you something, though. Gruden is a TV personality. That's what he is now. And so Gruden, you know, yeah, he has the Gruden's quarterback camp, and he can work with all these different quarterbacks and point stuff out. Don't you think there are probably a lot of other coaches, though, that can do that just as well or better than him who just don't happen to be on TV? I mean, I don't think the fact that he's got a TV show doesn't necessarily make him the greatest quarterback mind of all time.
No, you know what I mean? And that's fair, but I do think that when it came to recruiting, it's easier to sell that.
That's the counter to it. Is
if I'm a high school quarterback and I'm the father of a high school quarterback, I know who John Gruden is.
Right.
So he has a leg up just because we as humans, we have our preordained biases. We have our, you know, we're preconditioned to believe certain things about certain people. We've been sold for 10 years that John Gruden is a quarterback expert.
But
never mind that he took Brad Johnson and kind of willed him into being an average quarterback to go along with a historic defense, and maybe Gruden hasn't coached too many great NFL quarterbacks. The idea is we've been sold of him as a quarterback whisperer. And like,
and that's fine.
That's a leg up. Like, I don't know if he actually is, and your point's taken. Like, maybe Jeff Brohm, who actually played the position in D1, would be a better quarterback coach.
That's kind of where I've been at on this. Like, I think
Bobby Petrino, who, you know, took Lamar Jackson, and then who was the kid at Arkansas?
Ryan Mallett.
Was it Mallett?
Tyler Wilson.
Tyler Wilson was who I was thinking of. Wilson, like, was pretty good under Bobby Petrino. Bobby Petrino left. Tyler Wilson started sucking all of a sudden. Like, maybe Petrino's a better quarterback mind than Gruden. Well, I don't know, but when it comes to recruiting, I do think Gruden would be an easy
show. And I get what you're saying, too, because those kids have grown up watching Gruden.
Yeah.
And like you said, the dads, everybody knows who Gruden is. But to me, I just wonder if it's a little bit of a, you know, once we get behind the TV screen, what do we find out?
Yeah.
That's all I'm wondering.
And that's a fair concern. 865-546-8200. Phone lines open for the next segment. And then at 11:30, we'll get to overrated, underrated. Stick with us. This is Talk Sports right here on Fox Sports Knoxville. Troubling news coming out of Nashville. Troubling news. Nashville college student is in hot water after a Snapchat has surfaced of her replacing her roommate's water bottle with water from the toilet.
Ugh. She just didn't like her?
I guess not.
Apparently.
Yeah, I mean, I guess not.
I don't think you do that to somebody you like.
Yeah, like, hey, buddy, here's some toilet water. The victim says she started getting suspicious when she lost weight and her appetite but couldn't figure out why. And then some Snapchat videos surfaced, which is the problem, right, of, like, if you're going to – but I guess no one has just enough hatred for someone to do mean things without getting some type of recognition for it, right?
Yeah, if you're going to do something, you want people to watch it.
Yeah. Like, well, there's a thing I heard that just has really stuck with me, is that, like, our 3D lives are being ruined by our 2D lives. Like, we want our two-dimensional lives, like, on our screens to be better than our actual 3D lives, so we're out here just trying to get some likes and
catering to our 2D lives.
Yeah.
By
recording you putting your roommate's water bottle, filling it up with water. She would get a styrofoam cup, dip it in the toilet, and then transport it out. And then she recorded it talking about how much she hated her roommate, and now there's evidence. So, like, I don't know where the allegedly comes from, because it seems like she's kind of dead to rights on this.
Well, what happened? That she started losing weight
Yeah, the victim said she started losing weight, feeling sick, and just didn't have an appetite.
Do you think that's why? I mean, can it be proven that's why? Toilet water is like any other water, right? Or was this toilet water with, like, what was in it, you know?
It's just toilet water, but, I mean, well, I don't know. Maybe
bacteria? I mean,
we've talked about, like, brands before. I am someone who I really reject the idea of tap water in general.
I do, too, honestly.
So, like, give me a bottle of water. Like, I feel like I taste different things. I feel like I don't feel as good if I drink out of the tap water. I would appreciate just a bottle of water. So,
George Carlin had a joke one time about, you know, Evian bottled water.
Yeah.
The thing they never tell you is about how it's spelled back, what it is spelled backwards, Evian.
What is it spelled backwards?
Naive. N-A-I-V-E.
Yeah. But yeah, either way.
I'm kind of with you, though, honestly.
I'm naive about it. I don't care. Give me the bottled water.
I like bottled water better. You can taste a difference. People say you can't taste a difference. They're insane.
And the tap water's turning the frogs gay anyway, and they're making making men more feminine as it is anyway because they don't pump out the estrogen.
Turning the frogs gay?
Yeah. Yeah. The frogs are turning gay.
I didn't know that was true.
Yeah.
I believe it, though, because you said it.
It is true. So. The chemicals from the water turning the frogs gay. It
has to be true.
Chemical from the water making this girl sick.
Okay, so did the girl know, because I'm going to look at the other side of this. Did the girl know that she had been given toilet water?
I don't think so.
Because if she knew, maybe now somebody's told her, hey, you need to play this up.
So you go back and talk about how you've lost weight and lost an appetite.
Yeah, you know, get this girl in trouble, get her back that way, maybe get some money out of it. You know what I mean?
So you're looking at it, you're looking at it from a good place to look at.
Yeah, I mean, if she, well,
like
I
you get in a car wreck and then all of a sudden, oh, my back.
Right. Yeah. Similar.
My neck, and my back.
Yeah, I got sued by some crazy woman a couple years ago for that, and I probably shouldn't talk about it on air. But the hell with her. She wasn't hurt. She had her two kids in the van, and she, we hurt my shoulder.
She's been charged with This word's giving me trouble.
Adolescent.
Adoleration.
Adoleration.
A-D-U-L-T-E-R-A-T-I-O-N.
I think it's adulteration.
Yeah. What the hell does that mean?
I'm not sure.
Adulteration of food, liquid, and bodily injury. Look up that word, Caleb. What the hell does that mean?
I like to side with the bad guy. I've told you this.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering. I feel
you're
like
just living out like some type of dream of like being a defense attorney.
Yeah, I'm a villain at heart. Like I feel like, I mean, maybe it sucks of the girl to, you know, give her toilet water, but dogs drink water out of the toilet all the time, and you don't see them getting all sick and rattled, do you?
Well, dogs also eat their own poop.
Well, yeah, but dogs.
I don't know if I'd use them as an example.
Yeah, dogs are good people. Dogs
that's fine.
Yeah, dogs.
But
are
I don't think in court that's gonna hold up. Like, hey,
my dog had some toilet water. He didn't mind. I'm just saying, from the girl's defense, maybe she didn't know. Like, maybe is it a prank or like she?
No, I think it was like a hateful thing. I don't think it was a prank.
I think
there was malice in it.
But I don't think she meant to make her sick, or you know, she maybe
Snapchat video telling me how much she hated her. So
okay, well, you know, we got to ask, what did the roommate do? Why did she hate her? Maybe she hooked up with her boyfriend or something. You know, there's two sides to every story. I always like to get the villain side too.
Either way, I don't think there's a good enough excuse for putting toilet water in somebody's water bottle.
Well, I need
short of her taking her boyfriend.
I think there's a good excuse.
Stealing from her.
I think there's a good excuse.
Not doing the dishes?
No, that's
You don't want to do the dishes? Well, here, drink some dish water.
No, I mean, that's not good enough. But, I mean, if there was something else, you know, we don't know why she hated her so much. And maybe she was just a mean-spirited, awful person. It's like Mean Girls, you know. But we don't know that for sure, do we? I mean, maybe she, you know, who knows? Maybe she, like I said, she could have hooked up with her boyfriend. You know, maybe she did something like this to her.
Well, where do you rank making your roommate drink toilet water as a form of revenge? Where do you rank that on a scale of 1 to 10?
I think it's pretty weak.
Oh, you think it's weak?
I could think of some better stuff.
I think it's pretty good. It's subtle. You get the joy of knowing they're drinking toilet water. You're posting it on Snapchat so everyone knows she's drinking toilet water. I think that's pretty good.
Yeah. I do wonder, though, if...
Because that would make me... That's one thing that would make me very, very angry. If I'd been drinking toilet water for like a week...
It is disgusting.
And no one told me, and then I found out, and you can't throw it up. You've already drank it.
It is disgusting. But I wonder if the other girl can prove that that's why she got sick. You know, if this ends up in court.
Either way, she's getting in trouble for doing it.
Can you get in trouble for that?
Adulteration, man. Adulteration.
Did you figure out what it is?
I Googled it.
I thought you were looking.
Did you look it up?
Yeah.
Read it to us.
Is she suing her for adulteration?
That's what the cops charged her with.
Oh, she got... Oh.
Yeah, she got charged by the cops.
Basically, it just means it fails to meet federal or state standards. A food item in order to increase somebody... an addition of another substance to a food item in order to increase the quantity of the food item in raw form or prepared form, which may result in the loss of actual quality of the item.
Yeah.
Doesn't sound like a very serious charge.
Overrated, underrated, next. Be honest. Held my breath a little bit when this song started.
Yeah, I did too.
I was like, oh.
Zach. Yeah.
I was wondering, like, did they remember to edit it? Yeah. Ooh, that was tough. That was close.
Mm-hmm.
Editing songs, overrated, underrated.
Editing songs?
Yeah, clean version of songs.
Overrated. I don't need a clean version. Language doesn't bother me.
You're a man.
Yeah.
Let's get us some overrated, underrated.
Overrated. Very overrated.
It's overrated.
Overrated, my friend.
Overrated. I'm going to tell you why. I think that's a solid rated right there. It's perfect rated.
He underrated, man. He got some swag. He has some real swag.
Lobsters are underrated. They don't die.
Okay, a lot of good topics. Hard to choose from. Since the NBA kicked off last night, let's start off with first games of the season in any sport. Overrated or underrated?
Gotta go with overrated. Like, I enjoyed the first games last night, but Chiefs-Patriots, that was overrated as well. You just have to get more data. I'm a big sample size guy. I want to see the teams, how they progress. First games of the season, you get the hype, but how much can you really care in 1 of 16 or 1 of 82? Even as a big NBA fan, I got to say overrated.
I'm going to go overrated because in the grand scheme of a season, game one never compares to late season, to postseason. So, yeah, again, like John said, with the hype going into it, it's been so long since you saw your favorite sport, so it's cool to finally get it back, but it's overrated in the grand scheme of a season.
Okay. Jared Garantano making his first start last week. High expectations going up against Bama this week. Jared Garantano. Overrated so far, underrated.
I mean, who the hell is saying underrated at this point? Is anyone saying that Garantano's been underrated? You got to go overrated. The guy had so much hype, and I'm not saying he can't fix it. I'm not saying that at this time next year we won't be saying Garantano's the truth, Garantano's the answer. But so far from what we've seen in his first start, I got to say vastly overrated. I didn't see the escapability. I didn't see the mobility I'd kept hearing about. Not saying he can't fix it. Saw some flashes, but right now, he's overrated.
See, I can flip it around and go underrated, and I can use the same reasoning, and it's because he hasn't had the coaching. And so I think we're seeing underrated right now because the product that we're seeing is not as good as it can be. So you get him in the right system, you get him a quarterback's coach, you get him a new head coach next year, could be looking at a totally different player. So I think he's underrated.
Touche.
Okay, how about this? Attending sporting events in like live person sporting events opposed to watching them on TV. Overrated or underrated?
Good one.
I got to go underrated, and I'm someone who is guilty of it. I don't make the trek to many games in person. NFL games, like I had tickets to the Titans Seahawks. I was like, I don't really feel like driving to Nashville. It's not worth it. Tennessee games, I try to only go to the big ones. Maybe that's why it's underrated to me, though, because when I go, it means something. If John Reed's in attendance, the game means something. NBA games, usually I only go to playoff games. Tennessee games, usually I only go to the big ones. Florida last year, Georgia last year. I guess I went to Georgia Tech this year, even though it wasn't a big one. But, like, I only go to the marquee events. I'm not rolling out to Tennessee, South Carolina. So, for me, going is always underrated. It's just actually getting me there. That's the problem. Because I rate it so low.
Yeah.
Which makes it underrated. Because when you actually go, I'm always like, yeah, that's kind of fun. I had fun.
I also think going is underrated, but and I don't know that it's fair to do this, but honestly, to me, it kind of depends on the result. I need some hindsight because it's worth going if the team wins. Like if Tennessee, there's nothing better than a Tennessee pregame. You get Rocky Top, you get the band, the bourbon and barbecue smell in the air. You get to sneak in the bottles to drink in the game. You get to overpay for hot dogs and nachos. You know, you get to tailgate. You get to play cornhole. There's so many great things about, like, I'm keeping it with college football. College football game days, I love it so much. So I got to go underrated for that reason. But especially if the team wins, it's vastly, very, very much underrated. If your team loses, though, like Tennessee losing to Georgia, South Carolina, I wish I hadn't gone. I wish I hadn't wasted my whole day on it. So,
whoa. I thought you didn't regret going.
Yeah, the nachos are good. Just the other day, you're like, oh, no, the nachos are great. I love going. It was worth the $70. We got a hypocrite.
I mean, it was. I do like going. I still like going and being at the game. But once you know the result, you wish you hadn't gone.
But I thought you didn't regret it going.
I don't regret it. I don't regret doing anything. But I wish, like looking back, I wish I hadn't done it. You know, is that a regret?
Yeah. I think that's the definition of a regret.
Is that what regrets are, I guess?
That's a regret.
Hell yeah, maybe. All right, maybe I'm a hypocrite. I don't know. Maybe I'm playing both sides of it. I don't know.
Hypocrite.
I like going, but only when Tennessee wins.
Okay, I'm pretty earlier on this one, but March Madness brackets, overrated or underrated?
Haven't we done this one before? I think we've done March Madness, not brackets, right?
I don't know.
I'm going to go underrated on brackets.
Let me just say, they're two completely different things.
Right, they are. I'm going underrated on brackets. Brackets are a hell of a lot of fun. I usually get into several bracket pools every year, one with my friends, a couple with my – like, you know how it is with bracket pools. You got so many different people doing them. Like, my mom, I'll fill one out for her work, like, so she can have one. And she'll split the money with me, even though I don't even know like half the people there. I mean, so I get into all these different pools. I love it. It's a lot of fun for me.
I got to go overrated just because the only thing worse than hearing about you and Charles's fantasy football team
is our brackets.
Is going to hear about your bracket. Oh, yeah.
Oh, John, I got 28 out of 32.
I had San Diego State in the Sweet 16. Oh, yeah, you want to see who I got in this matchup? Yeah, it's only round one. This matchup will never happen. But I could definitely see West Virginia knocking off Cincinnati in the Sweet
16. Where I got this 12 over 5.
Yeah.
I picked Little Rock over Purdue.
I don't know, man. I think they can do it.
I picked Little Rock over Purdue.
Yeah, who cares?
Yeah.
Who cares?
I did.
Like, I wanted to say underrated just because of schmohawks like Darren Rovell who are always like, I don't fill out a bracket and I have way more fun. Like, I hate the anti-bracket guy. Like, Houston Kress, anti-bracket guy last year. He's like, oh, I'm not filling one out. And it drove me crazy. But at the same time, I get it because of other idiots that talk too much about it. I just make one bracket. I enter it in. If it happens, it happens.
Oh, I only do one. I'm not one of these guys that does eight.
Maybe I'm just bitter because I
Oh, I'm the crazy person that like does like 15
brackets. I hate doing that. Yeah. I hate
Schmohawk right here. Caleb's a schmohawk.
Multiple brackets are – I hate that so much because it's like, oh, yeah, my bracket, 80%. Well, yeah, on your 14th try, you filled out – like. Maybe, just go with what you think, and
maybe I'm just bitter because I had UCLA winning it all and I lost.
I haven't done it the last couple of years though.
I've only been good at my bracket since like 07. Back when Florida was winning back to back, that's when I was good. I'm not good anymore. Maybe that's it. Maybe it's a me problem.
I always dominate. So stupid. Like, I have a crazy record of dominating the first round. I'll get like 28 out of 32. And
yeah,
then,
great story, bro.
Yeah, and then great, it great, just falls
great,
off.
Great story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got a couple left. Watches, like expensive watches in general. Overrated, underrated?
Watches are properly rated. Properly rated. You wear a watch, if it's a nice one, you're showing off wealth. If it's a cheaper one, that you're just looking because you have to have something on your wrist. That's a little weird because cell phones tell the time. But I do think they're properly rated. Like if you got one on and you got a nice one, you want to flash it off for people, let people know you got a little money, that's fine. But properly rated.
Stunningly, stunningly overrated and pretentious. That there's no need for them anymore. Only pretentious. Not your average dad. I mean pretentious if you got to have an expensive one on so that people know you wear a watch. You know what I mean? That's as pretentious as it gets. But it's not 1974 anymore, Stan. You don't need a watch. You got your cell phone now. All you got to do is look at it. And it's digital. You don't need a watch anymore. It's outdated. Watches are like VCRs. Don't need them. If you're just trying to make a fashion statement.
Do they ever make like $3,000 VCRs? Like, do they ever make like really nice VCRs that could fit like four movies in it at a time?
I don't know.
I feel like that would be a pretty good power move. Like, if you still had a four cassette VCR, a four tape VCR, I feel like you could still have that around just for a social status.
Yeah, that's symbol. What I think of people when I see a VCR.
I mean, if it's worth like $3,000.
This guy's living high on the hog.
Okay, I was in between this one. I told you it earlier, John. It's from Twitter. I was thinking snow, winter, stuff like that. And then somebody comes up and says, cuffing season. Cody, you're a big warm guy. You get lonely in the winter.
Do I?
Cuffing
Do
season.
Do you know that? Do I get lonely?
Underrated or overrated?
Cuffing season is overrated. That probably shocks you to hear me say that. Cuffing season's overrated. When it's cold outside, when it gets dark at 4:30 p.m., I just want to be left alone. I just want to go hibernate in my house, just be left alone. I don't want to watch movies with you. I don't want to have to try to go out on dates. No thanks. I just want to sit at home. I want to watch my TV. The NBA is firing up. We'll watch bowl season. We'll watch playoff football. I just want to be left alone. No, that's fine. Don't need anybody to cuff during winter. No thanks. And then someone will catch feelings. And then when it gets spring, there's that awkward transition where you have to get rid of them, but you're trying to be nice, and you have to let them know, sorry, cuffing season's over. Cuffing season's over.
Time to go back on the prowl.
Free agency's back in session. Sorry. It's just awkward. Just keep me away from it. I'll just go home at wintertime, be alone, watch my dirty movies. That's all I need. Overrated.
I'll go overrated, I guess. But there is some truth to, you know, like what you said, when you get more into the spring and the summer and you can kind of, you know, nobody really wants a girlfriend then. Because in the spring and the summer, you kind of, you know, you play the field a little bit, looking around, lots of good-looking girls in bikinis. And
to be honest, Cody, you and me are bigger guys. Like, cuffing season is the time we shine. Like, when it gets cold outside, like, this is our go-to time.
No,
maybe
that's for sure.
Maybe we both need to change our answer because you just laid me out, like, thinking about, like, when it's pool season, then you aren't in high demand when it's pool season.
But that's also when the demand is the highest. Like, that's when you want to not be cuffed.
Cuffing season, me and you shine. pool season, Caleb shines. Like, we all right. have our part. When yeah. it's swimming pool weather, Caleb pops the old shirt off, the women come running. Cuffing season, that's when the playing field's a little bit equal. Who wants to cuddle up with Caleb? He's not warm.
Caleb's not going to keep you warm
he's
in the
not,
winter.
He's not going to pop you popcorn and go and eat the popcorn.
Come hibernate with,
yeah.
with me.
Yeah, maybe we need to change our answer.
Come hibernate with me. I got all the honey you could ever want.
Never mind. It's still overrated. I just want to be left alone.
I think it's overrated, too, because I like being alone.
Just leave me alone.
Yeah. Yeah.
So let me watch my scary movies alone. Let me watch.
Yeah, I don't want some girl
just drink alone.
I don't want some girl ruining my movies.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, alone forever.
We want one more. Or you want to end on that?
One more. One more. One more.
Okay, Rocky Top tip off was last Friday. So Tennessee basketball this year. We come in every year. High expectations.
You know what?
A lot of people are excited this year.
Catch a break. We'll do Tennessee basketball, overrated, underrated on the other side. It's Talk Sports right here on Fox Sports Knoxville. Extended edition of overrated, underrated. Caleb wants to know, Tennessee basketball just picked to finish 13th in the SEC. Well, Caleb, you know what to do. No. You have to ask it. Come to the mic. There you go.
Tennessee basketball, overrated or underrated? Cody and John.
13th in the SEC feels vastly, vastly underrated. Am I wrong in thinking that this is a tournament year or that that should be the expectation?
No, it should be the expectation. They have everybody back on their roster from last year. Everybody besides what? Robert Hubbs.
Shambari Phillips.
And,
but yeah,
and Shambari.
That's
yeah.
about it.
I mean, they got so much young talent on that team.
You get Fulkerson back.
They're just going to get better and better. They should. I think a tournament appearance should be the standard this year.
That was eye-opening to see Tennessee pick to finish 13th in the SEC. Like, not that that matters, really, because I don't feel like these projections are ever close when it comes to basketball. I don't know. Maybe I'm just – got some recency bias, or we are always picked to finish 13th, and it always seems like we're a little bit better. Seems like we've been picked to finish 13th like four of the last 5 years.
Yeah, I know.
Seems like that always happens.
It's always second to last.
It feels like it's always either us and Missouri or us and LSU. It's us and LSU this year. I would be shocked if Tennessee did not finish in the top eight in the SEC. Like, if they can't finish in the top eight in the SEC – like, why the hell do we hire Rick Barnes? Like, at that point, does that not mean the Rick Barnes hire was a failure? If year three, you can't finish in the top eight in the SEC?
Yeah, if they can't do it in year three. Like, I think we can forgive the last couple years.
Yeah, like, I think he underachieved a little bit. Like, that's fine. I expected more whenever you hire a coach that you're selling on big-time recruiting they did at Texas and how he made the tournament every year at Texas. Like, I feel like year one and two, kind of a disappointment when you look at them together. But year three, to me, if you can't make the tournament, that's a problem.
Yeah, like right now, I would have Barnes as a C. So if we're asking overrated, underrated, right now I'm going to go overrated on Barnes. But I'm reserving hope for – because I do think with all of these guys back this year, and most of these guys, John, are going to be coming back next year too. Most of them aren't older – I mean, on the roster this year,
they're young players that aren't good enough to leave early for the NBA.
James Daniel III is the only senior, whoever he is, on this year's roster.
The transfer that came in that can score. Like, okay. He's a big addition. He should.
Yeah, I never heard of him.
He should replace the scoring from Hubs.
Okay. Well, he's a redshirt senior. Everybody else, Schofield, Kyle Alexander, Brad Woodson, Lucas Campbell, Chris Darrington, most of those guys don't even play, but they're all juniors.
Well, Chris Darrington's definitely going to play. He's the transfer.
Oh, yeah. The guy you
well,
mentioned.
Well, yeah, I mean, some of them.
Darrington, I messed up. Who was the first guy you said?
Let's see. The junior.
I think we had
Schofield,
two, I think
obviously.
We had two grad transfers, actually.
Who was the third?
Kyle Alexander, Brad Woodson.
The first guy you said.
The first guy I said was Schofield. James Daniel III?
Yeah, James Daniel III.
Yeah, he's a senior.
I'm pretty sure he was a grad transfer also.
Okay, I was going to say the Darrington kid is the one that can fill it up.
How about these sophomores, though? Grant Williams, Lamonte Turner, Bone and Bowden, the two Jordans. Like, you got a lot of talent on
yeah,
this
James,
team.
Yeah, James Daniel III led the NCAA
yeah,
no, in scoring.
He's the scorer.
Horde,
I had it right
yeah,
the first
Howard.
Time. Transferred in from Howard. Yeah, he's the guy that's supposed to come in and score. I had it right. Then I got
Yvis Ponce.
Like he dunked from the three. He dunked from the free throw line.
Coming in from France. You got talent on this team.
He looks like a grown man. Have you seen Yves Pons? I see him walking around campus. He's too big for his
I'm
own
gonna
body.
Call him
he's
Yives.
He's got the muscle definition. We'll see how it translates to being a basketball player.
He's got a hoop mixtape. You need to check that out.
He's got athleticism. We'll see how that translates to the NBA, or excuse me, to college basketball, and whether or not he can do fundamental basketball things. Like, I still want to see him be able to shoot a basketball. I don't think he's going to be dunking very often from the free throw line. He will have the athleticism to do things, but I want to see how skilled of a player he is before I get too excited. I've made mistakes of looking at muscle definition and thinking that was going to translate. Remember Yemi?
Yeah.
I always thought Yemi was going to be so good. Yeah, he was just a beast.
John L. Stokes, though. I remember how built he was. I miss him.
Yeah, I miss Darnell, too. Kentucky 1, Florida 2, A&M 3, Alabama 4. Our old friend Konzo Martin at 5. God, round out the top 5 of the preseason media poll.
They're
South Carolina
stacked.
11th after their Final Four run. Mississippi State 12th. Tennessee 13th. LSU and my guy Will Wade at 14th.
South Carolina's 11th?
Yeah, I mean,
they lost a lot.
Yeah, they lost a lot. I'll say underrated. Like, I put up the Toyota Knoxville poll question. Do you expect Tennessee to make the tournament? 600 votes in. 65% of people say yes. 35% of people say no.
If we're talking Tennessee, I'll go underrated, too. I just think Barnes, to this point, maybe a little overrated. But like I said, I'm holding out. Especially
from what we thought we were getting when we hired Rick Barnes. Like, I don't think you can really argue that he hasn't been a little bit overrated at this point.
I mean, I'm holding out hope for this year, though. Like, I think I'm not on his case yet. If this is another struggle to, you fall apart and don't even get to the NIT, then I'll be on his case. But right now, I mean, I think
I need a tournament appearance. NIT is great and all, but give me a tournament appearance.
Yeah, I'm saying if that's what happens, like last year.
Hour 2 in the books, hour 3 on deck. Stick with us. This Talk Sports right here on Fox Sports Knoxville.